Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, Vic, do you think you might have ADHD?
Well, listeners keep emailing me, telling me that they think I do, so probably.
Mind you, listeners also email us saying we talk too much about your mum's feet, so what do they know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I honestly had no idea about the connection between overdrinking and ADHD until we started this podcast.
About 40% of people that have had any sort of drinking issues also apparently have ADHD.
Whenever we chat to ex-drinkers, this comes up more than you'd believe. If you have ADHD or suspect you might, or just want to learn about this link, then we would encourage you to check out the I Have ADHD podcast.
It's the place where adults with ADHD find research-based information, validation, and tons of support.
This is the best way to feel less alone and hear some of the answers to the questions you've been sitting with for too long. You'll hear detailed descriptions of what it means to have ADHD and enjoy interviews with the foremost experts in the industry so that you don't have to read those ADHD books that are collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah. Listen to the I Have ADHD podcast and learn how ADHD affects every aspect of your life, from the boardroom to the bedroom.
In the podcast, you'll also hear about their ADHD coaching program, which is called Focused. Focused is made up of three pillars: courses, coaching, and community. It is designed to help you build your own self-improvement program and is perfect for the ADHD brain.
And you can get $50 off the course just by using the code SOBER, S-O-B-E-R. So if you're tired of feeling stuck and don't know where to start, listen to the I Have ADHD podcast.
The kettle's boiled, Vic.
Great. Perfect timing. Just a dash of milk for me, please, mate.
Here you go. Should we get started then?
Have you ever woken up on a Sunday morning and said, I'm never drinking again, and then found yourself waving $50 at a barman by happy hour?
Are you wondering why everyone else can stop at one, while you head to a dodgy after party with a weird bloke called Disco Dave? If so, it might be time to take a deeper look at your relationship with your reliable social crutch, alcohol.
On each episode, we'll investigate our own dysfunctional dealings with booze and find out if it's possible to stop this deeply ingrained habit before things get too messy.
Yep, we're going to open up a shame shed of humiliating drinking stories to help you understand why waking up from a booze coma each weekend with a kebab sticking out of your top pocket might actually be negatively impacting your health.
Hamish and I are here to delve into what it's like being sober, an unwanted warts and all look into why giving up those cheeky pints or putting down those mummy wines will make you feel happier, help your anxiety and mental health, and turn you into the most sparkly, authentic version of you.
Won't that mean I become boring though, Vic?
Well, Hamish, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm Victoria Vanstone.
I'm Hamish Adams-Cairns.
And this is Sober Awkward.
Yeah, so it was Fred's last day at daycare today, Hamish, which is very, very sad. Kids growing up, horrible, isn't it?
What does it look like, last day at daycare? Do they wear little graduation hats?
No, they just run around like maniacs and shit themselves, basically,
same,
like normal.
Same as every other day.
Loads of mums have come up to me in the last couple of weeks and said, are you excited? I'm like, yeah, it's going to be weird. All my kids will be at school. It's going to be so strange. They said, what are you going to do? The champagne breakfast? Oh, I'm yeah. like, oh.
So
of course,
this is a tradition.
Of course, there's a booze tradition involved in every single thing in the whole world. So yeah, they're like, so we're booking this, we're going to this hotel, we've booked the champagne breakfast. It's $100 a head. This is what we do in Australia. I'm like, well, I'm not going to come and pay $100 and sit and have a glass of fizzy apple juice with you. So it's another event, Hamish, that I'm going to miss out on because I don't drink.
Is it a celebration, though? Like,
it's a celebration.
Yeah, but kindy's good because they're in there all day. School's a pain in the ass because they're going to pick them up at 3.
Yeah.
Are we celebrating that? I feel like life gets harder when they go to school.
We're celebrating them being educated and moving on to higher learning.
Okay, it's not just flinging poo around a room.
I think school's a bit different. There probably is a bit of poo flinging, but yeah. I haven't been in to find out.
So you uninvited yourself to the mum's champagne party before
yes.
they can invite
I'm going
to
go
you.
On my own. I'll probably go for a quiet walk instead, Hamish.
Why don't
That's
you
kind
get
of
the table
I get up
next to,
now. To
them and just drink tea and look at them judgingly?
Yeah.
That's the way I see you celebrating.
I will do that. That is where, yeah. So it's a bit sad, really, isn't it? No champagne breakfast for me, Hamish.
No, it's just another occasion of you not being invited to a party. Yeah. It's a good thing you enjoy staying home and watching depressing documentaries about sticking coat hangers up their bums, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to tell you about that documentary. It doesn't really make sense when you just read that out, does it?
I don't think I want to know about this documentary.
No, I'll tell you when we're not being recorded.
Oh, this is a not for air.
It's not appropriate,
chat.
No, but okay. It was a very interesting documentary.
If you were newly sober and feeling a bit wobbly, I reckon an event like that would put you back to square one. If you're a month into your sobriety or even a year, a load of your mates all going off together for a day out and trying to get you to come would be very tempting indeed.
A mate of mine that's been sober for a year is going on a cruise next week and is already considering breaking her streak. But it's not the environments that get the booze brain ticking over, like the champagne breakfast. I actually had an email this week from someone that said, I'm finding dealing with mates and family very, very difficult that are still heavily drinking. It is so triggery. It's so triggery, in fact, that I've started drinking again. Mm. Oh,
saw that one.
She added, I've loved every part of sobriety. I was feeling really strong. But when I go out, everyone I know has a go at me and I can't be bothered with it anymore. So I'm drinking now, even though I hate it. What can I do?
Such a bummer. She's given up on sobriety because of what some mates say. She's gone back to the booze because the beer bollies were too strong and persuasive.
Oh, it's sad, isn't it, Haim?
I know, just losing that fight against the bullies.
Oh, you do have to be strong to be a sober person, that
is
for
sure. A lot of people will relapse because of that pressure.
Yeah, totally. Lots of, I'd say probably more like 50%. I'm going to pull one out of my...
If you could just invent a stat for us.
Coat-hangered bottom.
Thank you.
I find that kind of booze elbow twisting very annoying myself, even though I did do it. Anyone who's ever tried to give up drinking or goes somewhere and says they're not drinking knows people encourage us to drink and are unhappy when we don't. But why is this? What's it really all about? Today, we're going to find out why people grill us sobers and how to fight back. Now, we're not talking about kicking someone in the shins or giving them the old double poke eye. Do you know that one, Hamish?
Yeah, yes. Nice. Yeah. You know how to defend that is when you put
put your hand in the middle of your head, then do a runner. What we're talking about is more practical ways to stand up to those that don't understand sobriety and how to avoid being convinced going back to booze is a good idea.
How do sober people stand their ground? What's the best way to end a conversation with a spitty drunk that's given you a hard time? Is it okay to ask people to stop going on about it? Or are sober people destined to be repeating, alcohol doesn't work for me anymore, mate? We hope not. So let's delve into the beer bully, find out what floats their boat and what sinks it.
And don't worry, we're actually also going to give you some incredible phrases and tips on how to verbally kick the beer bully in the bollocks with some painful word daggers and teach you how to handle the staunch drinkers when they're calling you a party pooper.
Let's start with this term beer bully then, shall we, Vic? Where did you first hear it?
I made it up, Hamish.
Did you invent it?
Yeah,
I invented
it.
Is this one of yours?
Well, I think I invented it, yeah.
How confident are you?
Well, I don't know. I would say I'm 99% confident I invented that term. But it's quite an obvious term,
isn't it? We're going to get so many emails this week. That's a load of shit.
I read it in 1925 in the Beer Bully Book of Australia.
Okay, yeah. You invented it, sure.
I think I was trying to find a phrase that described how I treated people when they didn't drink. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I'd heard it before, but I'm pretty sure I coined it. I'm going to claim it, basically.
It's all yours.
Anyway, it sounds better than tequila tormentor or Pim's persecutor, although the ouzo oppressor does sound pretty cool.
Those three you definitely made up. Those we can coin is yours. Yeah. Ouzo oppressor, no one's ever said before.
No.
You do look quite pleased to yourself with those as well.
Yeah.
Do you want a blooming medal?
I do. I wouldn't mind a blooming
medal. Another trophy?
I wouldn't mind
a blooming medal. Yeah, go on in, mate.
Or slap my knee for that and collect some metal from the neighbour.
Okay, so beer bully, what does it mean? Who are these beer bullies?
Well, the beer bully is me, actually, Hamish. I am really describing myself here. I am horribly guilty, governor. We're going to do really bad Dick Van Dyke-esque English accents, Cockney accents today. Sorry, anyone out there who's from Born Within the Sound of Bow Bells.
How long will this go on before it gets annoying?
People that hate and can't understand sober people, that was me. I hated them, Hamish. Mm. It's terrible to say, isn't it? I actually hated anybody that didn't drink. It's absolutely awful. It is actually people that love drinking, of course. That is what a beer bully is. It's somebody who loves drinking, who loves alcohol. It's actually somebody who can be a little bit ignorant, people that know nothing about you. I never bothered to find out about someone who didn't drink. I just pushed them away and went, I shun you. You are not part of my crowd.
No, in your family.
Yeah. People in my family. My sister Louise, when she told me that she was giving up alcohol, all I thought was, oh, God. You didn't really have a problem. How ridiculous. Mm. How over the top. I thought she was being really new age and pathetic.
Did that irritate her? Did that cause conflict? Or
she never showed it. She never really talked about her sobriety that much. Not like I did when I gave up drinking. Because she knew she was against, you know, she was up against it with my family. Like, we all accepted her. We never told her she was wrong. But I think she probably felt like a sore thumb for most of the time while we were all boozing around her. I never considered not drinking around her. Which I would now, if someone said they wasn't drinking, of course I wouldn't drink, but I would like people to consider perhaps the fact that I don't drink, is it okay to drink around me? Mm. But of course then I didn't care. I was the beer bully. I didn't give a shit about anyone else apart from my drinking habit. I think that's what we're talking about here. They are also going to be friends that want you back, friends that miss the old you. That's huge. People that are missing their drinking buddy. People that are having big celebrations and want you vibing like then. Have you ever had that, Hamish?
Yeah, yeah.
Someone's 40th and they're like, oh, God, come on. It's my 40th. This is the time that we're going to drink together. Come on, just have one with me.
I got that recently.
Yeah, that's beer bullying, really, isn't it? Well, or wine wankery. There's another one for you, Hamish. The friends that have booked the cruise for their 40th, exactly that, before you told them you were quitting. Family that think you're boring now. People that never investigate themselves. People that never look inwards. I mean people that don't care about spirituality or wealth or health or anyone that doesn't self-reflect. I don't mean people that squat and look at their fannies in the mirror, Hamish, when I'm talking about people investigating themselves.
They stand on the mirror.
Yeah, they stand on the mirror
and then cough
and investigate themselves. Yeah, for a man it'd be coughing.
Yeah, for
a woman I'm not sure what it would be. But I'm not talking about people squatting over mirrors.
Have I ever looked down my bum? Never standing on the mirror. Maybe bending over double across a bathroom.
It probably looks bigger from looking down the top, doesn't it?
That's the key.
Most people that drink would rather you joined in and than sat at the bar with a pint of fizzy water judging their behaviour. It's those party animals that feel confronted by your changes. So basically it's just anyone who drinks and doesn't like the fact that you don't. That's all of those things summed up in one, isn't it? What does a beer bully look like to you, Haim?
Well, in my experience, they come in all shapes and sizes. I've had pressure from those that I'm closest to and also to those that I know very little, that you meet on a night out or at a wedding.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of the tricky thing about beer bullies is you might not always see them coming. So what we're going to do is we're going to get the perspective of the beer bully first, Vic. Seeing as you were one, let's roll back the years. And I want you to imagine that you're at the bar in the Fortune of War in Brighton Beach. And after doing a few shots of like jelly baby flavoured vodka, someone walks up to you and asks for a pint of lemonade. What did you think?
If someone had walked up to me at the Fortune of War on Brighton Beach and asked for a pint of lemonade, I would have thought, what a total loser. I would have rolled my eyes, leaned away like they were a pile of steaming cowpats, and whispered something horrible to a mate like, look at that fucking geek, what's his problem?
Most horrible thing you could think of? Look at that geek.
I'm being PC
reason. So PG. Look at that dork.
Look at that naughty, naughty person.
I know that you didn't like sober people, but what I want to know is why? What did you really think of them?
I really just hated them. There's no intelligent answer to this, Hamish, because I was of a beer bully mentality, which meant that I didn't like something because someone was going against the crowds that I was in. So there's no thought that's gone into it. There's nothing to back it up. No real thinking process has gone into it. It's just me going, I don't like you because you are different to me. That's as far as this goes, which is a really arrogant and ignorant way to approach anything in life, isn't it?
Yeah.
To not see the other side or not to even consider somebody else's opinion on something. That is really what a bully is, somebody who doesn't consider a backstory or the reasons why.
I think that's the core of homophobia or people issues of religion or sexism. Like there's a lot of fear of the unknown or just fear of like, oh, they're not the same as me and therefore I I hate you.
It's like, easier to hate. Yeah. It feels easier to hate. It's really ridiculous. And rather than actually ask yourself a few questions, some people aren't prepared to ask the hard questions to themselves because it's always the bully. It's the bully's fault that this situation has occurred or that they're making somebody feel less than. But I really thought that people that didn't drink were boring twats with no personalities. Why would you not drink? When there's the option to drink or not drink, why would you choose to not drink? Because drinking is fun and drinking is how we have fun. So I just couldn't understand it. I thought there was something really wrong with sober people. Like, what's the point in living if you can't get wasted? I thought they were righteous, smug, boring, dull, virtuous do-gooders with no lives. Because I never stopped to self-reflect. I was so ingrained in my drinking behaviours that I couldn't pause the show, Haim. What did you think of sober people before you became one?
I'm actually not sure if I've ever known a sober person before you. You were the first one that I met. I always assumed anyone sober would have like a checkered past of addiction. I thought that is what sobriety is. Mm. It's someone that used to have a problem. And once you tell me you're sober, I'm just playing this film in my mind of like, oh, I wonder how bad they were. And I now can see people play that film when I tell them I'm sober. Right. There's this like, you kind of go glazed over in your eyes and you're just imagining them like, crying, drinking out of a whiskey bottle at 7 in the morning. And kind of what I thought when I thought, you're sober, okay, this is what you were.
But I think that's interesting, Haim, because actually that is probably a better opinion than I had, because mine just stopped. I had no sympathy for that person, no empathy for their situation, whereas at least you're going, well, I'm making a judgment about the person here, but at least I'm thinking about them.
Yeah.
Whereas mine wasn't even as deep as that. I didn't think, oh, they're sober. Perhaps they had a drink problem and I should show them some kindness. I just thought, I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, isn't it?
And you thought they were boring. Like, I guess I kind of agree with the boring thing. If I didn't think, oh, you know, you're clearly just an ex huge drinker and you had a problem, then I would thought, oh, you're like a body is my temple kind of person.
Yeah, right.
And I don't think I can relate to a body is my temple kind of person, particularly when I'm in my 20s and I'm partying. But actually, you know, when we think of body is my temple kind of person, it's an unfair phrase to use, but they're just people that care about health.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that is a hateable trait to have.
No, it used to be. Like, I was the same with fit people as I was with sober people. I just thought, well, what are you going for a run for, mate? Mm. Like, what are you doing? Taking care of yourself? How ridiculous. Well, I was probably sat at the bar 15 pints in, dribbling on my own cardigan. Yeah. Like, why was I so hateful towards people that were actually being kind to themselves? We're getting a bit deep there, but that's the case. I was horrible about people that treated themselves with kindness. Fucked up.
Well, because it held off a mirror to you, didn't it? Make you feel like more of a piece of shit.
I was pushing the mirror away. Like, I didn't even want that mirror anywhere near me. I didn't want to even walk past that mirror and see a reflection of myself because it was too confronting.
Not even if it was pointing up at your fanny.
If it was pointing up my fanny, I would have a little investigation.
How often...
All right, Governor, what have you got that mirror there for?
What's that doing up there? Easy, Governor, get out of here. Those are my little lady parts. Easy, Governor.
Yours is worse than mine.
It is, isn't it? Well, that's the point. I'm doing a Dick Van Dyke. This doesn't have to be good. Yeah. How often would you try and persuade non-drinkers to join you?
All the time.
Every time?
Every single time. Because they made me uncomfortable, I wanted them to drink. I would try and force it upon them. I felt like I was doing a nice thing. I felt like I was forcing the fun. Like, join our gang. If I make you drink, you're going to have the best time ever. That's what I thought. Even though I was probably in a blackout at the time and completely not remembering my night anyway, I wanted them to join me.
And interestingly, if I could stop you there, that moment when you convince someone to drink with you is actually, on the surface of it, a win for both of you. The beer buddy's like, yes, I won. You're going to drink with me. And the person that has been abstaining or sober or what is like, okay, I'll do it. And everyone in the room goes, yeah, like Vic is out with us tonight. And then they feel good, right? For a second, you'll feel like, yeah, I'm getting all this love. Like, screw it, I can have one beer.
Yeah.
And it's not until, you know, probably the hangover or the anxiety, or then you go, shit, I'm drunk, or bugger, I've ruined my sobriety run, that then you start feeling bad.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a fake moment of joy just for a split second.
It's that fake first drink euphoria, isn't it?
Yeah.
For everybody. You want people to feel like you feel when you have that first drink. We're in it together. This is going to be fun. We're best mates and let's go on this crazy adventure together. Whereas in fact, it's not that at all. It's just a load of people standing around a table, you know, being a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
It's not actually what we think it's going to be. So we're selling a lie again, aren't we? We're selling a lie. The beer bully is saying, this is what it's going to be like. It's never like that. And actually, you're probably going to break a streak of sobriety and end up feeling really shit about yourself. Yeah. And in fact, where you, if you had just gone, sorry, beer bully, Sorry, I'll go the opposite way now, Hamish.
How you doing, posh?
Oh, sorry, Mr. Beer Bully. I'm not going to have a drink tonight because I'm abstaining from ethanol. Then they'd probably leave you alone.
Yeah.
I was the go on, one won't hurt, shut up and get it down your neck sort of person, which I hate about myself now. I would make people drink even when they were ill. I'll be making hot toddies or just like pouring horrible, like really strong alcohols down their throat to get them through the worst of the illness so they would carry on.
Strong alcohols down their neck. You're out of practice in the drinking game.
I
just poured the strong alcohols down their neck for a little bit. 5.5, 6 years sober.
The strongest of the alcohols.
I don't know what the kids say anymore.
I bought drinks for people. I pushed excuses onto them. I was like, come on, it's my birthday. Give up tomorrow. Don't be boring. All of that stuff. At school, I was the first person to drink out of all of my mates, so I forced them to do it too. Making people drink gave me a power over them, I think. That's a bit fucked up. I think we could probably do a whole episode on that, mm-hmm. Hamish. I think drinking gave me a superpower over people, whereas I was like, look, I'm the one that can do this. You can join in with me and be as cool as me.
Right.
Horrible. I wanted people on the same wavelength as me and was prepared to do what it takes to get everyone around me wasted. People could persuade me into doing anything. Basically, I was easy, not in a sexual way, Hamish. But if I thought something was fun, if you handed me a pill, I took it.
Yeah.
I think I took Viagra once. Someone handed me a pill.
Did you get a hard on?
No, I didn't get a hard on, unfortunately. Oh, I didn't get one of those hard on. Didn't get one. Ecstasy, worming tablets, absinthe, even things I thought I would never do, I did because it made other people happy.
Yeah.
So not only did I give in easily, I was also the beer bully. Basically, I was weak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a bully.
I think those are two negative ways to look at it. Or you were just always looking for a fun time.
I was, okay.
So anyone gives you a pill, I'll do a pill, sure.
Yes.
Like I think I'm going to talk to you about this when I interview you for your book. I think what you had was like a complete zero tolerance for boring situations.
Yeah, okay.
So any situation that could be like sparked up,
yes.
Here's a pill. It's a worming pill. Fuck it. Might do something.
Yeah.
I think you were in for.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was the people pleaser, as we say very often. This plays into this episode very, very well. I was just there trying to make other people happy. And my beer bullying, perhaps, wasn't so much of me being aggressive or horrible to anyone. It was me going, we're going to have a good night. We're going to bond. Let's be mates. This is going to be fantastic. I wanted people to be fantastic with.
Yeah.
And perhaps, yeah, it wasn't coming from a horrible place. It was coming from a good place in my heart. Beneath the bully sort of level of shunning, it did come from a good place.
I guess, interestingly, you know, with someone who had your drinking habit, they would give in and then you probably would have fun for a drink or two, but then you were probably the one taking it too far.
Yeah,
and then you're thrown up or you've disappeared or you're streaking down the road and they're alone.
Yeah.
So it's only fun for a fleeting moment.
Yeah, because no one ever took it to as far as I took it to. I was always wandering around the streets on my own by the end of the night.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not a good look, is it, Home? Did you ever encourage sober party poopers to raise a glass with you?
Never tried it with you, did I?
No, never once.
No, you were too far gone in the sober world.
I was too far gone. You knew not to.
Podcasting and writing books and blogs and I hope in hell. I guess because I didn't meet many people who were full-time sober folk. I met people who'd given up for a night, or I'm driving, or I've got a thing to be at tomorrow, or I'm taking this month off. They, in a way, for a beer bully, are easier to crack because you've got the, come on, you only live once line. You've got the, I'll get you a cab home, or I'll drive you home, or we'll get a tube together. You've got a plethora of excuses that you can use on someone who's just giving up for
a plethora.
You've got a plethora of excuses you can use on somebody who just wants to give up for a night. And I think, well, I've got a dictionary here that I can use and just get you off.
I just have monkey bollocks in my head.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So Vic, do you think you might have ADHD?
Well, listeners keep emailing me, telling me that they think I do, so probably.
Mind you, listeners also email us saying we talk too much about your mum's feet, so what do they know?
Yeah, fair enough.
I honestly had no idea about the connection between overdrinking and ADHD until we started this podcast.
About 40% of people that have had any sort of drinking issues also apparently have ADHD.
Whenever we chat to ex-drinkers, this comes up more than you'd believe. If you have ADHD or suspect you might, or just want to learn about this link, then we would encourage you to check out the I Have ADHD podcast.
It's the place where adults with ADHD find research-based information, validation, and tons of support.
This is the best way to feel less alone and hear some of the answers to the questions you've been sitting with for too long. You'll hear detailed descriptions of what it means to have ADHD and enjoy interviews with the foremost experts in the industry so that you don't have to read those ADHD books that are collecting dust on your shelf.
Yeah. Listen to the I Have ADHD podcast and learn how ADHD affects every aspect of your life, from the boardroom to the bedroom.
In the podcast, you'll also hear about their ADHD coaching program, which is called Focused. Focused is made up of three pillars: courses, coaching, and community. It is designed to help you build your own self-improvement program and is perfect for the ADHD brain.
And you can get $50 off the course just by using the code SOBER, S-O-B-E-R. So if you're tired of feeling stuck and don't know where to start, listen to the I Have ADHD podcast.
So I guess as a beer bully, those people, those prey are easy to swing around. Which is what I've always said, and I say to anyone who is giving up, who doesn't have a drinking problem,
yep.
I think it's in a way easier to give up indefinitely than it is to give up for a month. If you don't have a drinking problem, you go, I'm just going to give up for January.
Yeah.
A lot of beer bullies swarm you.
Yes.
Whereas if you're going, I'm sober, there are less of the beer bullies, in my experience.
I would totally agree. I'd never thought about that before, Hamish. So what you're saying is if someone does dry January, because it's so short term, people will go, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because you're going to start drinking in February, may as well start now.
Exactly.
I'd totally agree. There would be more people on your case if you're doing short-term sobriety.
That has been my experience. That might not be for everyone. But yeah, I found that in a way, giving up for a month is harder than giving up for a year or giving up for 2 years, because it's so easy to be convinced otherwise.
Yeah, and it's
It's the 30th.
Yeah.
It's the 30th today. Yeah. I know there's 31 days this month. Why don't you just give up an extra day in February? There's so many ways you can talk yourself out of doing the proper dry January or dry July or whatever the challenge is.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
So why do we do it? Surprisingly, it's actually a little bit deeper than you might think.
In some friendship groups, drinking is considered normal. So by choosing not to do what all your mates are doing is drastic, almost weird. By giving up alcohol, you're rejecting your tribe. Remember that chat we had with David Watson? You're going against what everyone else is doing, and it's confronting for them. It rocks their social world. And instead of looking at why, i.e. their own drinking habits, they fall back on trying to convince you that you are the one that's got it wrong. Hence, they start to beer bully you. Humans seem to fall apart when one of their own goes rogue.
Recent Victorian research found social drinkers...
Not Victorian from the 1800s.
I thought you just generalising a whole, 100-year...
Victorian as in Victorian in Australia.
Oh, I thought this was just your research now.
Okay. The Victorians, the Elizabethans, were they just...
I thought that's so vague. Recent Victoria to come out of Victoria, Australia, which is one of the states here, found social drinkers, defined as people who have drinks in a social situation outside their home at least once a week, are more likely to have experienced pressure from others to drink than those who aren't social drinkers.
Oh, there you go. Well, of course, you don't get as much pressure to drink when you're drinking
There's
at home.
No one else there.
It's a stupid stat.
That's an interesting stat.
Unless your husband's just
if
there.
If you're
going,
home alone, weirdly, no beer bullies.
Yeah. There's a very, very 0% of beer bullies when you're sitting at alone
Thank
having
you for
a drink.
Finding that stat. That was taking you
very,
ages.
Very, very useful stats from the Victorian era. Most of the research, which is a load of old bollocks, which we found out.
Don't trust our stats.
Don't trust us. On social and peer influences on drinking has been done with teenagers and college students. This is because the influence of peers on our behaviour is strongest when we're teenagers. There is evidence that young adults who are more socially anxious or concerned about what others think of them are more prone to drink in a risky manner as a result. That's a good stat, actually.
That's slightly better.
Yeah.
The ability to resist peer influence seems to increase from about 14, and our ability to stand up for ourselves in the face of our mates doesn't increase much from 18 to 30 years old.
That's it. So we basically don't have a really strong voice until we get over 40, which is, I discovered, I gave up drinking pretty much on my 40th birthday was when I stopped forever. And I do think there's a shift in how you feel about yourself and your mates and self-development when you reach 40. And I know for a fact that I didn't have a voice to be able to speak up for myself when I was 14. And in fact, all the way until through my 30s.
So I couldn't say no, really.
I couldn't say no. I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't educated enough to have my own voice for a very, very long time because I think I was stunted by the amount of alcohol I was drinking. Research shows peers can influence our drinking practices both directly and indirectly. Direct influences can be as overt as open encouragement to drink, buying someone a drink when they have said no, and subtle gestures to drink up. I have often a very interesting time when I go for a walk at the moment, Hamish, because on a Sunday, I walk past the local pub, the local pizza place and the fish and chip shop where everyone sits outside having drinks on Sunday afternoons. Yep. And that's just the route that I take to go down to the beach. I have people shouting out to me that know me saying, "All right, Vic, I'm only having one tonight." Or, yeah, "Look at me, Vic, I don't usually come here on a Sunday. We've had a couple." People are literally shouting out to me how much they are drinking. And like, I'm starting to get a bit fed up with it.
Are you?
Yeah. It's not beer bullying so much. It's like sober bullying.
Yeah. Yes. I think anyone that's gone sober has experienced this.
Yeah.
You get a friend coming up to you and be like, "I don't drink as much as I used to drink."
Yeah,
like
people explaining their drinking habits. Yeah. I actually said to someone at the weekend, "Just so you know, I am not your conscience. Yeah. Like, I am not here to judge you. I was a binge drinker for 25 years. Don't worry about me. I'm just out for a walk. Drink what you like. I'm not going to tell you what to do." But they feel conscious of me being sober. It's the opposite, isn't it?
I get people catching themselves when they're beginning to tell me a story about why they're feeling hungover.
Yeah.
"I don't feel great this morning." I'm like, "Oh, really? What happened?" I must have picked up a bug. Yeah. "I know you're hungover."
Of course we know you're hungover. Like, God. Yeah, so there's different types of, like, beer bullying and the sober bullying, actually. So, yeah, we are not people's consciences, even though we might seem like we are. We don't mean to be, of course.
Here are some things people might say to you to get you thinking about drinking.
These are from my mate Michael Sarsgood, who's got a brilliant Instagram account called Happy Without the Hoot. Go and follow him. He's very, very funny. He did a post saying, "What are the unhelpful things that people say to you when you go out sober?" One thing one of his mates said was, "Michael, you're hilarious when you're drunk, but boring as fuck when you're sober. You don't need to stop completely. You just need to control this better. Or give me a call when you're drinking again and we can hit the town."
Yeah. I've
nasty,
heard that one.
Yeah.
You've proven your point now.
"You're just being dramatic." I think that's what I said to my sister.
Really?
Yeah, just being dramatic. Like, don't worry about it. I said to her, "Look, if you were drinking whiskey in the morning, then you got a problem."
"I've told everyone that you can drive because you don't drink."
Oh, yeah, nice one.
That's okay. I don't mind being the driver, but I'm going to leave on my own terms.
Yeah. Yeah, never be designated driver. "I prefer the messy you."
I hear that so often in best man speeches.
Oh, really?
They're at their best after a couple of drinks.
Yes.
Well, that line always comes up. "You've got kids now. That's more of a reason to drink."
I had a mum come up to me at school. And in fact, this is something I get quite often was, "I wish I'd known you when you were a drinker."
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that actually annoys me because I just think, well, I've done so much work to not be one. Mm-hmm. And for you to want to know me then, like, what's behind that? Because it was funny for you? It's selfish. It's personal, mm-hmm, isn't it? It's like, well, I would have had a better night if you had been a fucking mess. Like, I don't get where that comes from. It's actually really hurtful.
I think that is something that I would never say to someone sober. But reading your book, I would love to be in a fly on the wall on some of those situations. Yeah. Not your friend, because I guess, yeah, if you say I want to be your friend, then it is that selfish thing.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to have been at some of the things that happened in your book.
Oh, it always reminds me of that video of that someone that shared that girl, the swamp donkey at Glastonbury. That girl she'd got, do you know the one?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's the most humiliating video. Don't Google it because I feel sorry for the girl. Mm. But she was absolutely hammered and she was falling in mud in a tent whilst trying to go to the toilet. And people had shared it thinking it was funny. And it was probably the most, she would have been in a blackout. She would have no idea. And that's the sort of state I used to get in. Mm-hmm. And I just think, was that what you wanted as a friend? You wanted to see me like that? Because that wasn't a happy person. That was somebody completely out of control. And that's what someone's saying there. I prefer the messy you. Yes, you bad. Prefer me when I was unwell is really what, if we were going to go really deep with that, that's what that means. And it's actually really, really hurtful.
Yeah. And then we've got everything in moderation.
Go on, live a little.
We need to get you drinking again.
Oh, yeah, people say that. You don't have a problem, stop going on about it. Yeah.
I didn't realise you were an alcoholic.
Oh, that's a common one. I miss you drunk. You weren't that bad.
And it's not forever, though, is it? I get that all the time.
Is it forever? Well, what's it to you?
Now, is this part of the episode where we get to respond? Is this where we get to tell the listeners some good comebacks when someone tries to twist their drinker's elbow?
Yes, it is. It's your favourite phrases time, Hamish. What do you say when someone tries to convince you to have a bevy?
Okay, so I've got, I think really this is the best one that I can play, is you don't get it. I'm sober. This is my job, not a hobby.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, if I drink,
yeah,
not only have I broken my streak, but also I lose my job. Like there's more riding on it for me than you probably realise.
Yeah,
we
true.
Have talked about the fact that if I was to get drunk, we would do a relapse episode.
Yes.
But that would probably have to be my last episode.
It would be your last episode, yeah. It's too triggery. It would be too triggery for our listeners if you were drinking. It just couldn't
work.
No.
Drinking completed it, mate, has always been my favourite. I don't know where I heard that, but I love it.
Your mate told you that. An old mate of yours told you that.
A friend of mine said drinking
completed
it, mate.
Yeah.
I just think that's great. I would, but you don't have enough here. I think I learned that one from you.
That's a good one.
That's a nice line. And I think I might someday, but not today, is quite nice. Because by using the word today, it seems to sort of get rid of them. I think that's what triggers people who are drinking is like, oh, they're sober forever and it makes me feel awful about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, I'm not drinking today.
Mm.
But I think that sort of says enough, like gives them enough lead. I'm saying gives them enough
food.
Rope to piss off.
Right.
If that makes
give
sense.
Gives them enough piss to rope off.
That's better.
Rope off the area. He's not drinking.
Yeah, I think a sort of combination of those, depending on the days, seems to do the job for me.
Yep. Mine would be fuck off and leave me alone. That's
that
one of my
favourite
ones. I remember that saying that with Lucy one time. Yeah, that was in my early days of sobriety. I did use that one just because I couldn't be asked to talk to anyone about it, mm-hmm. which is fair enough. My favourite one is why are you so obsessed with me?
That is a nice one.
Because I like myself now. There you go.
Yeah.
There it is. That's the truth, isn't it?
That is enough self-congratulation as it is like judging them.
Yeah.
Because what you're saying there is, you don't like yourself.
Yes. I think that is actually going to be my new favourite.
That would
one.
Be a trick. If I was a drinker and you said to me, I would feel attacked.
You would feel attacked and you'd question everything. Like it would probably turn you sober, quite honestly, wouldn't it? I am drinking water. I'm not a fan of class A carcinogens. Ha, ha, ha. They would hate you even more.
Water. I would hate you if you said that. I'm on the side of the sober people, but if you say I am drinking water, I'd fucking hate you.
Well, if you drink a class A carcinogen, I'm drinking a poison too. Oh dear, yeah, don't say that one. My favourite one, of course, Hamish, is I am sober, which should be enough to get anyone to back off. It's actually really good for you and for the reputation of sober people. It means you're standing up for yourself, you're owning your sobriety, and it's really good for the sober revolution. Just to own it and say, here I am sober, I am proud of it, what are you going to do about it? Maybe don't say what you're going to do about it at the end, because that could actually cause you to have a fight.
Mm.
So don't add that, but yeah, just say I am sober. Or the other option is, Haim, say nothing. You actually don't have to tell anybody what you do or do not put into your body. Unless you put hamsters in your bottom, then maybe tell a doctor about that.
No, a doctor
or the coat hanger.
Yeah. Yes.
One good bit of advice here, Hamish, especially if you are early on in recovery, is to avoid anywhere you might find a beer bully. Just don't go out with those kind of mates for a while. Avoid your old pub. Get gastro before you go on the big family Sunday lunch and skip the girls' weekend by pretending you have a jippy knee from the war, whatever it takes.
Get gastro is a nice tip for anyone.
Yeah, just get gastro.
Just go and cuddle a little kid who's throwing up.
Go and lick a hospital floor.
I just don't want to be around those people that give me a hard time anymore. Sobriety is all about kindness, patience, taking care of yourself. It doesn't combine well with people asking slightly aggressive questions and poking the sober bear.
Yes, I like the thought of you being a sober bear, Hamish.
Thank you.
Beer bullies won't be all into that woo-woo side of sober life either. Trying to explain your reasons why you're sober on a night out and what it means to you with loud ACD blasting from a speaker behind you will be like talking to a brick wall. Don't do it in the pub. You're not going to have a good night when you're trying to have serious conversations like that, when you're surrounded by people and everyone's shouting and the night is going off. Your throat will hurt and you'll be shouting and they probably won't remember anyway.
Is ACD a band?
Sorry, did I say ACD?
So are they like close to ACDC?
ADHD is a band, isn't it?
She's down with the kids.
Yeah.
Our advice is when the beer bully is sober, if you love them, still want to be a part of your life, then take them out for a coffee and have a chat about why you're sober now. Give them the whole story. Be honest, be real. People never argue with that. Then by the time they're pissed later on, they know all the answers already and will hopefully hold off.
Yeah, and also, like, do beer bullies go out for coffees? That's the other question I have about that, Hamish, yeah, do they?
That's tricky. Yeah. You maybe have to get them after 11.
Yeah, after 11.
Hangover, yeah, maybe like that 11:30 coffee, because they haven't got out of bed till then, because they're hungover.
Yeah, because I would never have gone for a coffee. I'd be like, why would we go for a coffee? What's the point in that? Why would you spend $5 on a coffee? We can spend $5 on a pint of beer. That would have been my thinking as a drinker. Yeah, no good. So let's find out what the Cuppa crew said about this. I went on there and asked, have they ever been beer bullied into drinking?
So Karen said, happens all the time. My friends all feel uneasy about their own boozing and can't believe I've quit the bottle. So I'm constantly asked why I don't just have one. It's often, surely you have it under control now and a glass or two won't hurt. It's the only drug you have to explain not taking.
So true. Claire says, I had to come to the realisation that I may have been a beer bully. I was always the one suggesting drinks or saying, oh, go on, have one more. I never meant it with any malice. I just wanted everyone to stay to justify my own drinking, no doubt.
Helen says to people that are trying to influence her, if I'd quit smoking, you wouldn't say one won't hurt. Or her late and rebellious brother would quote Robert Downey Jr. saying, drinking brings me out in handcuffs.
Yes. Claire Alexander said, most of the time when people have an issue with this, it's because they have a problem with drinking themselves. I think the best approach is to keep it simple and affirm, no, I don't want to.
Jem says, I'm still suffering now with one friend in particular who I've suspected has an issue with drink for some time. And now I've stopped, it's highlighted how much she needs to drink and how she relied on me matching her to mask her issues.
Oh, they're so deep, these. They're just one sentence, but they're so heavy, aren't they? Ex-beer bully Gaz, who has had to apologise to many mates since he gave up booze, says, I was at Oktoberfest this year and managed to do the whole day alcohol-free. However, in the last tent we visited, the chap serving us refused to get me an AF beer. He said, no, I only serve alcohol. He looked genuinely annoyed and we nearly walked out.
Wow, so that was the barman.
The barman was annoyed with him.
Lauren says, my partner and friends have said many, many times, you're the best drinker we know. Stop being so hard on yourself and have a drink and relax.
Oh God, yeah, that would be very common, that one. Pam says the worst ones are the people that slip you a drink when you think you have something else. So you're trying hard to be sensible, but they love the out of control you because you're the entertainment, of course. She said, you should have seen me after drinking Prosecco when a family member slipped vodka in it. Let's say, imagine a raccoon in a garage. Love it.
It's difficult to find specific research on why our friends put pressure on us to drink, but there are some general indications from social psychology and sociology regarding conformity and group mentality.
Oh, interesting. Essentially, as we said, we are tribal social animals. From an evolutionary perspective, early humans had to form social groups to hunt, gather food, protect each other, and survive. As a result, we have evolved tendencies to support group cohesion by conforming to group norms and shunning nonconformity.
So if we tend to associate with people who are like us and engage in similar behaviours, and we start doing things in a way that goes against the group norms, such as not drinking in social situations, this can be a challenging thing to accept.
At an almost unconscious level, your mates can try and resolve this discomfort by encouraging you to start drinking again, just like them. And of course, even if they might be supportive of your intentions not to drink when they are sober, after they've had a few drinks, they may be more likely to put pressure on you to drink.
I know when I was a beer bully, it wasn't coming from a bad place, just a place of not understanding. Try to remember that your friend's just struggling to deal with the changes that your sobriety brings to your relationship.
Now, we know what you expect us to say here. Ditch the beer bullies. Don't hang out with them anymore. But we're not. What we're actually going to say is keep them on the periphery.
Don't go out with them if you don't want to, but definitely tell them before. Be prepared for a verbal battering. I know it's not great, but it might happen. And show them who you are. A proud, sober person, capable of a night out without drinking. Lead by example. Show them that it can be done.
Then keep that person near if you care about them, because we assure you, your behaviour will be sinking in. You are subtly leading by example, and they will see. Just keep doing it, and one day they will ask you for help. And if you're a drinker that still tries to talk your mates into drinking, just stop it. It's annoying, triggering, and makes us feel uncomfortable. Just be happy that we are strong enough to take a different path.
Yeah, that we're talking to the beer bullies. Message for the beer bullies, isn't it? Be kind to the sober people, because it isn't easy.
Should we end on a quote?
Yeah, why not?
Michael J. Fox.
Okay. One's dignity may be assaulted, vandalised and cruelly mocked, but it can never be taken away unless it is surrendered. That's not Michael J. Fox, sorry, surely.
I don't know who that was. The next one is Michael
okay.
J. Fox.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, it's a bit heavy.
The test of courage comes when we are in the minority. The test of tolerance comes when we are in the majority.
Yeah, very true. Has anyone tried to get you to have a drink, Hamish, since you got sober?
I actually got one recently.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got my best mate's wedding coming up, and his bride-to-be was like, come on, like on his wedding day.
Yeah.
Like, you will, right?
Surely. Like,
no. Yeah. Liz is always fairly tongue in cheek.
Yes.
She knows I won't, but you know, like we got to Ibiza and there's a hotel with the windows open and a DJ playing in the swimming pool. I'm doing, she's like, hey, come on.
Yeah.
I can't drink the whole thing by myself. She did. And fair play to her. I was looking after her that night. And then I guess it's weird because of what I do. I guess my stories are so unique because not many people have got podcasts on sobriety, but I do get a lot of, Vic will never find out. A lot of people that have never met you will come up to me at a wedding and be like, she'll never know. No. Vic will never. Usually it's like people going, your husband or wife will never find out. I get you. Be like, Vic will never know.
It's funny, isn't it? If I was doing this podcast with anyone else, Hamish, I wouldn't trust them.
Yeah.
But you are so honest and so open that I know that you love a challenge as well, don't you? Like, this is like a challenge for you, this podcast. Like, and obviously you've experienced all of these incredible health benefits and mental wealth and health and growth and all of these amazing things. But I trust you 100%. I know that if you couldn't secretly have a drink.
Well, that's it. I think I like the fact that you see it as me being trustworthy enough to not lie. I see it as I'm such a bad liar.
Yeah.
There's no way I could sit opposite you and just talk about this if I accidentally got hammered one night in the UK.
You couldn't. I'm glad you couldn't, because you're just too honest. That face would give it away.
Yeah,
Hamish.
I don't have a good poker face.
No. Right, should we go to the pub then?
Yeah, my round.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you're questioning your relationship with booze, you're struggling to moderate, or your hangovers are causing anxiety, it might be time to reach out for some support.
Yeah, just talk to a mate about how you're feeling, contact a local doctor, find an AA or sobriety group. Vic's got one.
Yeah, just head to www.cuppa.community.
Remember, if you're questioning yourself, it might be time to seek support.
Even though this journey can be awkward, it is definitely worth it. And if you've enjoyed the Sober Awkward podcast, don't forget to review it, rate it, and share it with your mates.
Do they have to share it with their mates?
Yeah, of course they do. I'm not doing this for nothing, Hamish. Bloody hell.
How do they share it?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, as you probably know, my comedy memoir, A Thousand Wasted Sundays, is officially out. All my magnificent fuckuppery in one awkward hit. If you'd like to get your hands on a copy, it's now available from all good bookstores.
We always say all good bookstores, don't we? Yeah. Are there bad bookstores?
No, probably ones with moody sellers.
Oh, yeah, depressed librarian folks.
Yes, okay, yes, yeah. So there are probably some, but we're only storing it in the good ones.
It's only made it into the goodies.
You can also get it from all good online retailers. The print version and ebook are out now, and the audiobook will be available in March. I've been writing my memoir for 5 years. It will make you laugh, cry and cringe, and hopefully inspire a few people to reconsider their relationship with booze. If you love the podcast, then I think you'll love the book, even if I do say so myself. Hamish has read it. What did you think?
I feel like I know a little bit too much about you now, to be honest, Vic. Look, I really loved it. It was hilarious and surprisingly moving, but I feel like I've seen you naked in a literary sense.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From an emotional point of view, seriously, it wobbled my teeny weeny wooden heart, Vic.
Okay.
My teeny little wooden heart.
Well, his wooden heart is broken. Anyway, so if you do manage to get your filthy mitts on a copy, please do me a favour and head to goodreads.com and give me a review. Doing that will help me get it out there to those that need a bit of sober support. So there you have it. My story, unwanted warts and all. Come and get awkward with me.
Not to be too demanding or anything, but seriously, go and buy it.
Yeah,
now.
Go and buy it. Go and buy it right now.
Yeah, don't just tell your friends. Buy it and then buy your friends one or two.
Yeah, don't give them a copy. Yeah. Buy it. Yeah.
And you know what? Don't be careful where you store it. If you lose it, you can always buy another five.
Yeah, buy another one.
Yeah.